Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know, the Bible talks about how we have the keys to the mysteries of the kingdom.
Right.
Sometimes that can seem so confusing, but really, those keys are the Holy Spirit in our life. The Bible, though it's just a book to some people, it's living and ever, it's changing constantly. Not because the words on the page change, but because we go through life and we see different things in our life, and what the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to us and begins to give us revelation on begins to change. It's all about the revelation in your life. And so much of that is pushed by wanting more. I want more, so I'm going to dig in deeper. I want more, so I'm going to press in a little further. I want more, so when I read, I have an expectation for what you're going to say. I have an expectation that you're going to give me something new. I have an expectation that when I dive in and I look for more, you're going to reveal one more thing to me, because there's so much more that we can learn. There's so much more that He wants to give us. There's so much more that He wants to teach us. There's so much more that He wants to allow for blessing to flow in your life. Sometimes I think people, when they hear this, I'm like, they always say they want more. They want more. Okay, we know you want more. But that's not it. That I want more is that pressing. It's that pressing after Him saying, I really do want more. I really do want more than what I have now. I want you to show me more in my life. I want you to reveal new things. I want you to teach me new things so that I can move into that next area of my life, so that I can do a little bit more for you. And it never stops. That's the amazing part. Is that when we think we have it all figured out, when we think that there's nothing more for us to have, there is. I don't know what it is, but every week I felt the same thing. It doesn't matter your age. From the babies in the church, little Ben, to the oldest person here, he has more. You still have more. There's still more that He's going to do in your life. There's still new things that He's ready to just pour into you. There's still more for you. He still wants to press you forward. He still has people that He intends for you to touch. He still has things in your life that He wants to open up doors. And the great thing about that revelation in your life, about those mysteries continuing to unlock, and you continuing to walk through those doors, is you'll begin to see things in your life manifest that you didn't even know you had. They're gifts that He placed within, that He tucked inside of you, that He just begins to bring up inside of you. Things you never imagined that you'd be doing, and you'll find that when you do it, oh, there's a peace that passes all understanding. There's a joy that comes, because it's not you, it's Him in you.
I heard the Lord speaking to me, come forth, my children, come to the altar, run, do not walk. I want to bless you. I want to comfort you. I want to be your number one. Come and sit with me. Come and dine with me. Come and rest in me. I have more than you can imagine. I have the answers. I have the solutions. I have you in the palm of my hands.
You know, it's been a whirlwind for my wife and I over the last couple weeks, probably the last month. When 2020 hit, we knew in our lives we wanted something new. We needed something for what our plans for our lives. You know, we're about ready to have two kids who are grown. We're going to be empty nesters. And I'm turning 50. I won't say how old she is. But we just knew we wanted to start preparing for our future. And one of the biggest things we needed was a new job for one of us, which thankfully I got a new one about 7 days ago. And it's in a field that I love to do. It's helping kids. And I moved myself to Pueblo High School to be a behavior intervention monitor to deal with all the kids who are the ones no one wants to deal with. I get to deal with them. And right before I left my other school, my principal came to me and said, "Hey, I got a couple of U of A tickets for you. Would you like to go?" Sure. I love women's basketball. You know, I coach it. So we went to the women's basketball game on a Friday night. And my wife looks at everything that it just doesn't happen. And so they do their little games during the game, you know, you go down to the court, do something, and they came to me because I was wearing glasses, so glasses are good, people. And they said, "Hey, can you come down and can you play this game with us? And all you have to do is look at a screen and say who it is." And I was like, I was double guessing it. And I was like, "Sure." So after the lady left, I was like, "I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to go down to the court in front of all this crowd and do this thing. And especially if I mess up, I don't want to look, you know, how that goes." So I'm over here doing that. Lady comes back to us when it's time for us to go down. And she says, "The last game we had a guy. We want a woman to do it." Okay. Then she's like, "Do you think your wife will do it?" "Sure." So my lovely wife goes down and she does the game. She wins two more tickets. And she came back up after that. She goes, "You know what? This is our year of double portion. 2020. 2-2. Double portion." And so we've really been pondering that. And, you know, they've talked about more. We want more. Do you know that you may not have something like that in your mind, but God will set things up to show you He's got more for you just by your life, just by living. And that if you really just look at what God's doing in your life, you can see He's doing something. And out of this whole couple weeks, my daughter got a job. I got this new job. My son's coming back to Tucson to work my old job. He's going to live with us. And my wife this morning says, "You know what? We got double portion again because we got both our kids back home." And I was looking up at, a couple verses up, and Elisha asked Elijah, when Elijah says, "What can I give you before I leave?" And Elisha said, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." If you want more, you can't just continue to ask for more. You got to see that God is already giving you more. And then the second verse, how many knows Isaiah 61? "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me up to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for your captives, for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." That's something I'm doing. I'm working with kids who are addicted to drugs. I'm working with kids who have a behavioral issue, that are angry and upset, who don't want to be in class, who would want to start fights and mess around. These are kids who are in bondage, who are broken, who don't have freedom. They're captive to their lifestyle. But later on in that verse, it says this. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you'll rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. What's your land? Your house, your children, your inheritance, and everlasting joy will be yours. I just wanted to encourage you this morning that if you just look at what God's done in your life, you will see He's given you more.
Oh, yeah.
And that a double portion is yours, says the Lord.
Ooh, hallelujah. How many want more?
Yeah,
are you guys after more? Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you have been asking for more. How many of you actually been asking for more, saying, God, you got to give me more. I need more than what I need more of. I just need more, Lord. Can I get more of you, Lord? Is that right? Remember that song, More of You? Diana, stand up a minute. Stand up, Diana.
Me?
Yeah, you can stand up with her, brother. Stand up with her. I really feel, I've been praying about your daughter-in-law. And I really feel, Diana, that God, in your trip this time, that He's going to open, that, Pastor Pat, where are you? Raise your hand, Pastor, if you see him. Not around here. Okay. There he is. What's it called? There's going to be a crack. Is that right? We talked about the crack. And it's going to be something where God will pour into her heart. You're going to see a drastic change in her life. You'll see it because of your love for her and your desire. And you've been asking God to minister to her.
Yeah.
Amen. Put your hands toward this woman. Father, we thank You. We ask You, Father God, that You would, create that crack in that young lady's heart to receive You, to find out just how beautiful You are, Father. So, Lord, we pray that You would anoint Diana to speak as she ought to speak. Give her words to speak that will create the light shining into her heart. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Woo. Hallelujah. Watch that hole. Come on, man. Oh, hallelujah. God's got good things. Amen. You want more? You want more? You're asking for more? Yeah, Steve, are you asking for more?
Yes, I am.
Rebecca, are you asking for more?
I want it all.
Are you asking for more? Jason, are you asking for more? Come on, man. Oh, cool. Hallelujah. Can I just say this to each and every one of you? God wants to give you more. Can I say this to you? He's trying to give you more. Hallelujah. But you're going to have to say, God, I'll do whatever You want me to do. Yeah, I will wash pastor's truck. No, I'm just kidding. I will do what You want me to do, Lord. Because I do want more. Lord, I want more. Raise your hands to Him right now. Just say, Lord, just give us more. Lord, more of You, Father. We know, Father, that when You are in our lives, Father God, we are surrounded by a host of heaven. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, Father God. And Lord, in that cloud of witnesses, we are saying this morning, God, give us more. Give us more. In Jesus' name we pray. Give Him a shout real quick and we'll praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Is God not good? God is good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing that one more time.
I want more.
I know. Some of you might not like to sing, but I want to sing it one more time. Hallelujah.
I want more of You, Lord. I want more. I want more. I want more, I want more, I want more.
Yeah, hallelujah. Give him a praise right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for provision. Thank you for 2020. Double portion. Amen. You can sit down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So good to have you guys in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What do you think about this floor? Come on. Yeah. Praise God. Where's Abe? Hallelujah. Here he is. What does that tell you about our church? Amen. We got to get going. Amen. Is that me? Was that me?
Too many burritos.
Praise God. Hey, we had a good time at the men's breakfast yesterday. And feel such an anointing this morning. I thought I better put that there because you guys know me. I will run into it. Yeah. It is one of those things about me. If there's a pothole in the road, my truck finds it. Yeah, just poof. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we'll talk to you this morning. Last week, we talked a little bit about Elijah and how he was led by the Lord. And the message yesterday was about rest, the ability to rest, knowing that God is doing everything for you. How many know that God's doing everything for you? Yeah. Are you resting? Are you trusting him? Or do you get all freaked out every time something happens? Don't allow yourself to go there. Just trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And, you know, praise God. If I got to look like I I'm going to trust you, Lord. And it looks like to everybody around me that I'm crazy for not being crazy, it's okay. Amen? Trust him. He knows what he's doing in your life. And last week we talked about that, how Elijah went to, the Lord said, go to the brook. And he went to the brook. And then it dried up. And he says, go over to the widow's house in Zarephath, and she's going to sustain you. And he went over there, and she was he prayed for the oil and the meal, and the Lord was sustaining them. And then in the middle of that, one thing that God didn't say to him was that her son was going to die. And he freaks out. He goes, God, did you send me here to kill this woman's son? Did you do this, Father? And so he kind of freaks out about it. But the Lord raises him up. Amen. So the Lord knows what he's doing. Amen. And sometimes, sometimes he's going to tell you what he wants you to do. But other times, you're not going to know what he's doing. You're going to say, what are you doing? How many of you said that to God? Anybody? Anybody beside me? Hallelujah. He says, you're going to pastor here? What are you doing? Are you crazy? Come on. Hallelujah. I still got a hole back here I'm dealing with. So praise God. So if you will, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know why I'm so thirsty. Thirsty for Jesus. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. I like some of them bass notes in there too, man. A little lower. Yeah, come on. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I love music. I just love music. How many love music? How many sing really good? How many sing all the time? I mean, there's a lot more hands up. Praise God. How many love singing? Yeah. How many of you sing in the shower? How many sing in your car? Yeah, I'm just looking for somebody to... You know, God loves your song, amen. Hallelujah. And so, yeah, he is wanting to give you more. And I just love what we're talking about this morning. 1 Kings chapter 18, starting at verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.'" So Elijah went out to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, For it was so, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and with water. Isn't it amazing how a lot of times with kings that God has a man that's right next to him, a man of God? Is that right? Isn't it good to have a president that loves God?
Oh, yeah.
It's good to have a president that wants to get prayer back in the school, because our children need prayer. How many know that? They need to be able to. I'm thankful for that. But here's Obadiah, and this guy is, his wife, Ahab, the king, his wife is killing the prophets of the Lord. And Obadiah had taken them and hidden them in a cave and was feeding them bread and water. That was a risk on his life. How many know that? And he is a high official. You know, there's always been, Daniel was around Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. And then there was Joseph with Pharaoh. God always had a man of God in these great leadership, close to the leadership. And I thank God for that, because God says, things aren't going to get out of hand. How many know that? Can you trust God? I believe God's not going to allow things to get out of hand while we're here. Amen? Come on, man. So here, Ahab tells Obadiah, go into the land with springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we will not have to kill any livestock. So they divided the land between them to explore it. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now, as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him, fell on his face, and said, "Is that you, my Lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here." So he said, "How have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you." And when they said, "He is not here," he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. Elijah had gone to Ahab and told him, "It's not going to rain until I tell it to rain." That's pretty bold, isn't it? Is that bold? You walk up to president, you walk up to the mayor of your city and say, "It's not going to rain here until I tell it to rain." That's pretty bold. Amen. Elijah did that with Ahab. So they went maybe 6 months, no rain. Monsoon season came upon the land, no rain. A year, no rain. A year and a half, no rain. So now Ahab saying, "Where is that old prophet? Where is he? We need to find him." Because he declared that it would not rain. So he was sending people out to find Elijah, and they couldn't find him. Every time they went to any other country, they would make the leadership, they would make the governors or whatever of those other countries, they would make them swear that Elijah is not in this country. He's not here. We don't know where he's at. The Lord had hidden him, amen? The Lord had put him away, set him off to the side. So they'd been looking for Elijah for a couple of years at least, probably 3 years. It's now 3.5 years. We know it's 3.5 years because the Lord tells us, I think it's in Luke, I think chapter 4, I think he says that it was a 3.5 year famine is what Jesus said. So here it is, close to 3.5 years later. And so Elijah tells Obadiah to go tell your master that I'll be right here. You looking for me? I'm right here. How many have said that to your friend? You're looking for me, bro? I'm right here. What do you want? Come on, man. I'm right here. The challenge is coming out. Elijah really is challenging Ahab. And he tells his top man, Obadiah, says, "Go tell your master I'm here. I'm here." Title of the sermon is what?
Showdown.
Showdown. We're headed for a showdown. How many like showdowns? You guys remember the OK Corral? There was a showdown happening. You guys remember that? Showdown. Super Bowl. Showdown. Amen? Come on. Showdowns. Who's going to win? I knew these guys were going to win. Did you know that Kansas City was going to win?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lord told me, man. The Lord said, Kansas City all the way. I'm just kidding, you guys. Showdown. We love showdowns, don't we? We do. We love them. Praise God. And here Elijah say, man, go tell Ahab, I'm right here, man. You need me? Here I am. I love it, man. So he said, how have I sinned that you are delivering me, delivering your servant of the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said he's not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone forth from you that the spirit of the Lord will carry you away to a place that I don't know of. And when I go and tell Ahab, he can't find you and will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord? Get the feeling of what Obadiah is doing? He's getting a little excited, isn't he? How many ever had somebody get so excited they wouldn't stop talking to you? And I can picture Elijah going, will you let me say something? No. But he's going, man, haven't you heard what I did? Here's what he says right here. He says, was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here. He will kill me. Pobrecito, huh?
Yeah.
Pobrecito, man. Come on. Hey, man. I give him Elijah, calm down, bro. Come on, man. Calm down. Anybody ever told you to calm down when you're all fired up? Can I tell you, it's important that we remain calm. Is that right? Can I tell you, you will think clear if you'll remain calm? Can I say that to you? It is a good thing to stay calm. Is that right? Calmness. Hey, can I tell you that really it's called peace, and it can be called self-control, allowing yourself to stay calm, not letting anything disturb the peace that's within you. Is that cool? And so here's Elijah. He says, man, calm down, bro. He just said, have your master come here. He says, so. Verse 15, he says, Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And then it happened that when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? What a greeting, huh? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Is that you? Is that you, you stinker? Come on, man. Is that right? Is that you? Is that a way to treat somebody? But, I mean, as soon as he looked at him, as soon as he saw, hey, there's that troublemaker right there. There he is. How many of you know that it wasn't Elijah's fault that God told him to command that it not rain? It wasn't Elijah's fault. It was Jezebel and Ahab's fault. They were leading Israel into worship of Baal and all the Ashtaroth, all these other gods rather than God himself. And this God, and God was saying, I'm tired of it. I'm not going to, how many know that rain is a blessing? Do you know that? How many like monsoon season? I mean, hey, man, Bisbee gets some really wild stuff, don't they? I've seen cars going down down a gulch, man. But it's crazy. The blessing of rain, of water, was withheld from Israel. It's cool. Because God says, I'm not blessing what they're doing. I will not bless it. Can I tell you, God doesn't like blessing those that will serve other gods. Do you know that? The Bible says he is a jealous God. Do you know what jealousy is? God, you know, God, the word of God says that. And he goes, hey, I am a jealous God. You will have no other gods before me is what he says. And he says, I am the Lord thy God.
That's right.
There will be no other gods before me. Hallelujah. And so can I tell you, folks, sometimes we put things before God. Is that okay? It's not okay. It is not okay. God says, hey, hey, hey. You wouldn't want me to withhold a blessing from you, would you? come on, man. Because we were asking you, God, we want more. We want more. It says, yeah, yeah. I want to give you more. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Lord loves you. He cares about you. So are you him that troubles Israel? I like Elijah's answer. And he answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashtaroth who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? I want you to just take a look at that. This is what Elijah asked the people. How long will you falter? How long will you halt between two opinions? How long is it going to take you before you realize one thing or the other? How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Isn't that crazy? It just reminds me of when Jesus was standing in the temple and there was a man that had a withered hand. And he told him, stand up. And they stood up, and he stood up. And the Pharisees were all there. And he goes, is it right to heal on the Sabbath day? And the Bible says that nobody said anything. Nobody said a word. Isn't that crazy? Of course it's right. Isn't healing good anytime? Of course. I don't know. This is what I think. If I would have been, I'd say, of course. Heal a man. Come on. Jesus did heal him. Amen. But here are these people. He says, hey, choose which one, God or Baal? And not one answered. They just would not. Nobody said a word. And Elijah said to the people, I alone am left the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and we shall choose one bull for them, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. Isn't that good? Yeah. Hey, come on, man. I tell you what, there's a confidence in this man that I love. He says, my God's going to answer by fire. Mm-hmm. You guys can call whoever you want. And we'll see. Let's just see. Amen? Everybody say, let's see.
Let's see.
Come on, let's see what happens. So all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. Yeah, let's do it. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call in the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them and prepared it, called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, O Baal! It even sounds funny to me. O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar that they had made. And it was so at noon. Okay, everybody, it's at noontime that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud. He says, hey, you guys aren't calling loud enough. You need to call louder. Your God can't hear, bro. You need to call a little bit louder. So it says, for he is a God. Either he's meditating or he's busy or he's on a journey or perhaps he's sleeping and you got to wake him up. Call louder. How many of you called somebody, your wife or your husband, and say, hey, get up. Yeah, you got to call louder. And this is what Elijah's telling you. You got to put some effort into this. If you want your God to answer, you got to be, come on, the word of God. Get on fire, bro. Call out. So they cried louder, aloud, and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until blood gushed out upon them. And here it is midday. And I, you know, I want you to notice a couple of things. They're talking about at, you know, at noon, and then it talked about midday. Both are basically the same thing. It's basically the same thing. But midday was about 12 o'clock. The evening started at 6 o'clock and went all the way to 6 o'clock in the morning. That's the evening. The day went from 6 o'clock in the morning and went all the way to 6 o'clock in the evening. Is it, you guys okay where you guys are still with me? So that's just the way that is. So the time frame here, when he said noon, and then he said at midday, it was right after he had said that, that at midday he began to speak again. Okay? Is that okay? So And I lost my place.
29.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate those that are paying attention, huh? I didn't. Just kidding. Verse 29 said, "At midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, and I like this, no one what? Paid attention." I love it, man. How many times have you told your kids, pay attention? I mean, hear that. God, their God, according to Elijah, but according to the Word of God, said he paid no attention to him. There is no God other than God. How many of you know that? That God out there can hear, can do, can see, whatever. He can't do anything because he's not a God. Amen? He is nothing. There's only one God. How many of you know that? The Word of God has told us that there's only one God. And it says, no one answered, but he didn't pay attention. Then Elijah said to the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now here Elijah is beginning to there was an altar there, and he began to fix the stones of the altar. And because of all the people there, and this is my own thinking, okay? So if I'm wacky, it doesn't say it in here. But it says, this is what it says. Elijah took 12 stones according to the numbers of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar. So I've got to look at this because I'm thinking that he's grabbing the first rock and he's setting it and he's straightening it out. And he looks at the people. That's Reuben. You guys remember Reuben? And then he says, then straightens the next one. Simon. This is Simon right here. All you tribes of Israel, pay attention and listen. The next one he says, Levi. He puts another stone. Judah, my favorite stone. How many know? Amen. Why is that? He's a favorite stone. My favorite stone. My favorite rock was right. It was Judah. The next one, I'm going by the oldest to the youngest. The next one was Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. But all 12 stones there, calling out their names. I'm sure he was, I know he was calling out, it doesn't say, but I know he was calling out their names. He says, this is the altar that the Lord told us to build. Here it is. Verse 33 says, then he put water. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 32, it says, with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench round the altar large enough to hold two seas. Seas? Seas? Is that what it says? Seas. That's a new one on me. I didn't notice that when I was reading this. Two seas of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill four water pots with water. Fill four water pots with water. Pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. So then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. Verse 35 says, so the water ran all around the altar and also filled the trench with water. Elijah's making a very clear point. Is that right? This thing should not burn. Is that right? It's not going to burn. They're in the middle of a drought. How many know? The Bible says that there was no water. They were out looking for water. And when they ran into Elijah, there was. But the Mount, what mount is it?
Carmel.
Yeah. Carmel was near the ocean. So it's very likely they could be getting water from the ocean or from the sea, the Great Sea, and bringing it up and pouring it on the sacrifice. But he says, fill 4 barrels of water. And I like that, just the thought about 4 barrels. It used to be my favorite engine carburetor size. Ain't that right? 4 barrels. I want you to fill 4 barrels. But you know, it's funny because everything we see is very symbolic. It really is. You know, there's 4 seasons. Spring, summer, autumn, fall. I mean, winter. Then there's 4 major directions, north, south, east, and west. Everything is, with God, everything is important. How many know that? Everything's important. And then the number 4, I like the other 4, I like, well, there's also 4 gospels that we know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those 4, but there's also the 4th tribe, the 4th son that was born to Abraham, and his name was Judah. And Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's my king. He is, man. He's the one that saved my soul. He died for me. Oh, come on. That's why I like that 4th tribe so much. Woo. Hallelujah. He said, take these 4 barrels. And then he says, pour it on them 3 times. Oh, and there's so much in threes in the scriptures. How many know that? So much in threes. Noah had 3 sons. Abraham had 3 visitors. The patriarchs were 3 men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jonah was how many days in the whale? 3 days in the whale. Peter denied Jesus how many times? 3 times. How many nails was nailed into that cross? 3 nails in his hands and both feet. Jesus resurrected in what?
3 days.
3 days. Father, Son, and what?
Holy Ghost.
The 3, the Trinity that we know of. And he made you spirit, soul, and body. There's a lot of 3s, and it's very symbolic of what God is doing. He's reminding as they're doing this in threes and pouring it out they're pouring water on the sacrifice. And I can tell you, the waters of life cannot be poured into a vessel until they first pass by the sacrifice and they issue from the sacrifice. Do you know what I'm talking about? Jesus had to die in order to get the water of life to you. Hallelujah. The whole structure is here. And I can almost picture the angels up in heaven. What's going on? I can feel almost heaven just moving. Something's getting ready to happen. Angels are looking at each other. Something's getting ready to fire off here, man. Something's happening here. Because of the picture that God is that instructing Elijah to do. Fill it 4 more times. Fill it. Fill 4 barrels. Do it 3 times. Woo. Hallelujah. So the water ran all around the altar and also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant. I love this, man. And that I have done all these things according to what? Was he making this up as he went? Mm-mm, he wasn't. He was being led by the Spirit of God to do the things that he was doing. He was not, man, I'm just going to make this up. I'll go make it up as we go along. We'll touch him. We'll see what God does through it. No, it's not like that. It was a man that was being led by God's Spirit.
Right.
And he says, and this, all these things are at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. The word of God says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Calling out on God and saying, God, hear me, God, hear me, Lord, hear what I'm saying. And I can feel heaven rumbling, man. It says, and the word of God says, boom, this fire fell from heaven. Is that right? So then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when the people saw it, yeah, I would be the same way. When the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Amen? Amen. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
I would say, oh, come on, man. You bet he's God. Come on. Hallelujah. I just wonder what Elijah's doing right here, man. I told you. Yeah, told you. How long are you going to halt between two decisions? How long will it take you to make a decision? Either serve God or walk away. He says this. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to Brook Kishon and executed them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain. Can I tell you this? This word right here is coming to a man of God, and he is hearing. There's something going on within him. He is hearing a sound of an abundance of rain. I don't think anybody else in the whole area heard this sound, but Elijah is hearing. I'm hearing a sound. Can I tell you there's a sound of heaven? There is sound that comes to your spirit from heaven. I mean, pay attention and get into your prayer closet and listen to what God is saying to you, because there's a sound that will come within you, and it will begin to push you and drive you and take you to a place where you didn't even realize you were going, because God loves you and he says, I've got so much for you, but you haven't seen it yet. You haven't seen nothing yet. There's more. There really is more for you. And he says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Folks, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much with God. And it says, and he said to his servant, go now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, get down to Ahab, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. What? There's a little bitty cloud. No, man. No, man. There's a rain coming. Amen. There is the blessing of the Lord coming, because the people have said, there is only one God. There is God. And now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And I love verse 46. It says, and the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I love that part, mostly because, you know, Ahab picked up his skirt, tied it up. Ahab is fired off with his chariot, man. Horses are driving it. It's going to rain. And Elijah, the old prophet, I don't know how old he was. I really don't know how old he was. Pew, took off and he beat him. He beat him to the maybe the road went this way and that way and this way and that way. And Elijah was able to just go straight. But he still beat him. I love it because the Bible says that the word of the Lord, the hand of the Lord was upon him. And he got it, and he girded up and took off. I love it when God gets a hold of you and takes you someplace. Amen? This is a neat story. But one of the things I want to take you back to is just for a minute is where it says, how long do you halt between two decisions, between two opinions? And I'll put up the word opinion. In the Hebrew, opinion is Saif. 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 Yeah, you like it. Opinions. And it's opinions, not opinion. Opinions, this word in the King James only comes up one time in the whole Bible. The word opinion comes up three times, and it only comes up in Job in the whole Bible. But it means divided in mind. Opinions with an S on the end means divided in mind. How many of you know that God is trying to get us away from a divided mind? How many know that? I just want to share a few scriptures with you, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24 says this. This is what the Word of God says. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Did you hear that? He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
That's not the way Christ is. Is that right?
Right.
No way. He says, but you have not so learned Christ if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in who? There's only one place you can get truth from. It's in Jesus. And he says, and that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? The spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. See, God wants you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And there's only one thing that's going to renew your mind is the Word of God. Do you know that? That's why it's so important to you that you read the Word of God, that God is able to take his word. And because the Word of God has a cleansing effect. Do you know that? It will wash things that should be washed, that should be cleansed. It will purge things that would need to be purged. And it will bring the life of God into your mind. I mean, say amen to that. See, because the Word of God says this, that God touches our heart. Is that right? He touches our heart. We give our hearts to the Lord. But our mind is a conniver. How many say that? Look at your neighbor and say, your mind is a conniver, man. You're always trying to talk me out of stuff. You're always trying to be mean to me. I mean, how many of you know that the mind is a conniver? One minute you can be super nice, loving your spouse or your best friend. The next minute you're screaming at him. Is that right? Your mind can go crazy on you. Is that right? And God says, I want to renew that thing. That part needs to be renewed. It needs to be brought into the kingdom. Is that right?
Yep.
Isn't it funny that your heart can be in the kingdom, but your mind is far from the kingdom? Is that right? Can I tell you, it's more often, it's mostly like that, especially with new believers. Your heart is with God. You want to serve God, but then you just can't find it because your mind keeps going different places because your mind is used to doing what it wants to do what it used to do. Is that right? That's where you say that. It wants to do what it used to do. It wants to do it. And then you're always trying to corral it and bring it back. And see, the Word of God has that effect for you. If you listen to the Word of God, if you'll pray, if you'll talk to the Lord, you watch how the Word of God will begin to affect your mind. It's really cool. It's really nice. Watch this. Watch this. Romans chapter 12, 2 says right here, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, as your mind is being renewed, it walks in that, well, that good will of God. You're trying. You say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And as you gain the Word of God within you, and you begin to learn how to walk a little better as a Christian, now you're walking in that acceptable will of God, where God is saying, yeah, that you're doing good. You're doing good. The mind is being renewed. But there is it says the perfect will of God. Do you see, it's the transformation of the mind that causes God to say, hey, man, you know what? Can I tell you that Jesus walked in the perfect will of God from day one? He wasn't troubled with the things like we are. The Bible says he was without sin. Amen. He wasn't in trouble with somebody honking at him at the stoplight because you were looking at your phone. So you get all mad because a guy's honking at you. Jesus wasn't in trouble with stuff like that. He was just, God bless you. I love you. I died for you. No. But you see that our mind needs this transformation, and God is desiring to do this transformation for right. You can't do it. Is that right?
Can't do it.
You can't do it. The Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. By my spirit, I will transform your mind. Isn't that good? That's good. He wants to transform the way you think by his spirit. And Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Life. He wants to give you this mind. Hallelujah. Check this out. 1 Corinthians. And can you split these up? Yeah, because I'm going to ask you to go back and forth a couple of times with that. Okay, is that right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I love this scripture. How many like this? The spirit of God comes to you so that he can show you the things that God has for you. He reveals them to you. Pastor Henry can't reveal what God has placed within you. He didn't know how. I got no idea how to do that. But I know that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the things that he has for you at the right, correct time. When you think that's it, boom, he reveals something to you. He reveals things to you. Now we have received. Now, how many have received Jesus as Lord? See, the word of God says this, to as many as received them, received him, talking about Jesus, to them gave he the power to become what? Sons of God. And ladies, don't worry, you're son of God. The reason you ladies are a son of God, I know some ladies get a little, what? Well, you know, you women liver or whatever. I'm just kidding. Yeah, don't get mad at me, all right? The reason he calls you a son of God is because not you, it's him dwelling in you. It is spirit of God that dwells in you. It is, you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. But it's not you that lives. It's him that dwells in you, him that lives in you. So it's not a gender thing at all. So you would be called a son of God. Is that cool? Is that okay? Do you guys understand that? I hope I didn't hurt your feelings and you know what I just said. I shouldn't have said that. But women's livers. I said it again, didn't I? Golly, man, come on, man. Come on, David, tell me. Listen. It is the Lord that's in you. It's the Lord that's in you.
Right.
It's the Lord that's in you. Now go to verse 16 and see what it says here. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? He says, but we have the mind of Christ. That's the word of God telling you something. You have the mind of Christ. If you have accepted Christ into your life, you've given your heart to Jesus, you receive the mind of Christ. Go back to the other one. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Go back to verse 16. The last part of verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. What did it cost to get the mind of Christ? Jesus' sacrifice. He died so that you might have life. And not just life, but life more abundant. An ever-ending life. He died to give you. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Not just life, but eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? I mean, I got one more scripture, I think, for you. Might be two more. James chapter 1, verse 8. Now, this scripture, every time something happens that I do something crazy, wrong or something, or my wife does something, this is the word of God says, He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The King James says it a little bit different. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man. Can I tell you that God is asking you, listen to this, God is asking you to resist the old mindset. Resist it. You've got to resist it with everything that's within you, because it's going to try to overtake you. Can I say that to you? Because the Bible says that the things of God are not, the things of the Spirit are not natural to man, even though they are very natural to you because God intended you to have them. But because of your mind, the way it has been or used to be, it's going to fight the things that are very spiritual to you. So he's saying in this scripture, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways. So it's important that you begin to look at things and say, you know what? What does God's word say? Amen?
Right.
What does it say? What's God's word say to this? What does God's word say?
Right.
God's word says, by his stripes you've been healed. God's word says that you are more than a conqueror through him that saved you. God's word says that you're the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. God's word says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes. That's right.
God's word says you are bought with a price. Hallelujah. So no matter what, it's the mindset of the kingdom of God, which is Jesus, that he has placed within you. Allow it to push into every creek and corner in your life. When your finger's hurting you, amen? You played congas a little too hard, right?
Yeah.
Boom, pow. Hey, where's Jason? There he is. I heard that. When your fingers are hurting, you see, man, God's word says, Paul said, I keep my body under subjection. Straighten up. Be conformed to the word of God. It says, I'm whole and complete in Jesus' name. Amen. And you walk in what God's word says. Allow your mind to push into what God is saying to you. Is that okay?
Yes.
It will come to your heart, but it's got to make it. It's got to transform the mind. That's what he says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many want a new mind?
Yeah.
Man, I want to see things the way God sees it. I want to hear things the way God hears it. Amen? I'm tired of hearing things the way I hear it. How many know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People will tell me, say, hey, Henry, how are you? What's your point? Never mind. You get it? You get what I'm saying? I want to hear what God's saying. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Is that cool? One last scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:5. And this scripture is the one that examine yourselves. How many say amen?
Amen.
Can I tell you? You can't do anything about anybody around you. Just forget it. Is that okay? Forget it. You can't. I mean, my kids, my grandkids, I can, you know. But changing their heart and changing their mindset, like I said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So forget trying to fix folks. How many of you are folks fixers in here? The double F, folk fixers. Hey, man, we ain't supposed to be folks fixers. That's God's job. That's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, who you think you are, man? You trying to do my job? What's up? You can't do it. You can't fix it. What God says here, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? There it is again. He's in you. You've been given the mind of Christ. Do you know how blessed you are?
Very.
Do you really know? Do you really know what God has done for you? Can I tell you, I know that there is a videotape of what Jesus went through for us. Do you know that? Video, I don't know. I don't know the high-tech stuff of heaven. But I know when we stand before him, he said, look, let me show you what my son went through just for you.
Wow.
Let me show you what my son went through to get you here.
Wow.
That's what he's going to tell you. And you're going to see this video or this high electronic digital whatever. And you're going to see the Lord being whipped for you. By his stripes you've been healed. Being nailed to a cross. And being set up for all to see in a shameful way. And people mocking him in front of his mom. And you're going to see everything he did to get you where he is.
Thank you, Lord.
And then, folks, and then, you won't sit there and sung in song service. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, that's good. No, man, you're going to say, come on, man. Yeah. Ooh, God's done something for me. And he is well worth the effort that I can put into into worshiping with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind.
Right.
It's a change of mindset. And God said, I paid for it. Will you accept it? Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. Stand up and let's... Hallelujah. We can bring the worship team up if they're coming to... Hallelujah. My job is not to change you. My job is not to make you think the way I think. That's not my job. My job is to speak what God is saying to me and speak it to you and allow the Holy Spirit to take what he's saying into your hearts to cause and create change, create joy, peace, understanding, whatever it is he's trying to do in your heart. That's my job. I love you guys. I'll do anything for you guys. Anything I can. But I will always point you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I will never take it upon myself to say, well, I'm a special man. I'm not. I will always point you to what Jesus has done for you. If there's anybody in the house that's never given their heart to the Lord, can I tell you, today is the day.
Yeah.
I don't need an altar call to bring you up here. The Word of God does that for you. The Word that goes out speaks and talks to you and says, you need me. Son, you need me. Daughter, you need me. I'm no Billy Graham. But I know, I trust the power of the Word of God to go out and to do what God intends it to do. So let me pray for you. We'll sing one song and then we'll go out. We'll have a great week. Amen. Woo, God's going to do great things. Father, we thank you this morning for your Word. Father, change our hearts. Change our minds. Continue, Father. That glorious work of transforming our minds into the minds of Christ. I thank you for it this morning. I praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song real quick.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.